So there's already four.
It's okay. Skip. Yeah, there should be a little sticker.
Hey, you're recording.
Third signature on the right hand side of it. Oh. Thank you, Bill. Except for your run. Sorry, sir.
Oh. I've never done this.
Did this call me over?
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Okay, and so we're going to review the purpose of the committee.
Okay, so I'll help with that. So the purpose of this committee is the Finance, Personnel, and Risk Committee. We address fiscal issues, including appropriations, expenditures, and budget adjustments, as well as human resource issues for the city, providing direction on personnel policies, negotiations, and other significant risk issues. Council members serving on this committee are Council Member Diamond as our chair, Council Member McGoffin, and Council Member Owen.
Yes.
And all are present this evening.
All right. Next, we're going to sign warrant list.
Yeah. So they're going to sign their, there's quite a few pages, so they're going to be signing them, those pages, and I know Chuck's been in to sign already, so why don't we take a little bit of time and go ahead and sign before we start the next topic.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I noticed these all have three already. Do I need to still?
Three counting the finance director, or?
Are there four signatures or three signatures?
I see. There's the top one.
Yeah, the top one's
finance director, yeah.
There are quite a few here to sign.
We promise this won't happen again. We make sure they get signed every meeting.
This one's got a sticky. It says voided wrong. Account for claims. So are we just not signing this
go
one?
Ahead and skip that.
Skip
one.
That one.
Yeah. Yep.
Debbie, I'm just having to do today's date.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's fine. We have in the record that you approved them, so this is just a step that the auditors like.
Getting closer here.
Brendan needs that one.
Almost. We'll
see. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Are you guys hanging out here until the council meeting?
Mm-hmm.
You can always go through your items and then
come back to that.
Yeah, we can come back to that. Yeah,
okay,
so we can move this along. That would be fine.
Enough. Okay. Great. So, Bill, would you please put up the document, the spreadsheet document, page one? All right. So hopefully you can see that. I think Chuck is our only audience member, so hopefully, Chuck, you can see that. Council Member Owen, apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize. So this item is to review and discuss the upcoming 2021 budget amendments. So my thought will be going forward that as we do these, we'll talk about them a little bit here, and then of course you're going to see them again. We're going to talk about them at a workshop in December, and then you'll be voting on that in one of the December meetings. So this is just to give the Finance Committee information about what they might see. And I'm promising you this is draft. I should probably have draft written all over it, but to date, this is what we see that we're going to have to adjust in our upcoming budget amendment. So I'll kind of go through. The first one's crack and seal reclassification. We just did a different process, and so we didn't spend, you know, we spent it out of different funds. So this is just moving monies from one fund to the other. The Skagit PUD public assistance is something, Doug, do you recall what that $5,000 is?
I do. We got some money during COVID where Skagit PUD, we have an interlocal agreement with them where they were providing some assistance for delinquent water bills. Mm-hmm. That they were getting to there, and so they were for people that were just citizens in Cedar Woolley, and it was a one-time assistance up to $250, and so we authorized $5,000 to go, and so we had to do a budget amendment then to show that expenditure coming up. Mm-hmm.
And then the next column, the additional arterial work, that is some additional work that we did this year, and it's going to be funded from the Transportation Benefit District Fund, so you'll see the expense coming out of the arterial street fund because we spent it, and then you'll also see an expense to TBD, but that means we're transferring the money into the arterial fund to pay for that project. So that's how that works. The city council AV upgrade, the next column, we did do some upgrades in here, so it was unbudgeted. It was budgeted in 2020. We just didn't move the budget forward to 2021, so it's just coming out of ending fund balance, but since the checks were actually written in 2021, the auditors like to see that budget number in there. And page two. On to page two, Bill. Thank you. The state auditor's office has changed how we account for items that really the city collects, but then we just pass them right through to the state. And we used to take care of those in our general fund and then just pass them right through. And now the auditors want them to be done in a special custodial fund. So all this is doing is taking that budget that we had in 01 in general fund and moving it to the custodial court fees. So that's the impact there. And then I am going to let Doug speak to the next column, which is reclassify indirect cost allocation.
Mm-hmm. So indirect cost allocation, what this is the general fund does like legal, financial, and management, like city council, mm-hmm. Services for all funds in the city. Some of those costs, say Debbie's time. She's doing financial management, not only for the general fund, but also for the utility. Part of those costs then in the general fund get allocated to the utilities rather than the utility going and hiring their own finance director and doing that. Because as enterprise funds, we kind of have an arm's length relationship with them. Even though they're part of the city, we run those as separate businesses. So it's more cost effective than to just allocate it and have everything centralized. That's what an indirect cost allocation is. For finance costs, for example, some of those costs will get allocated to the utilities based on the number of invoices and, say, utility bills that go out in the utilities. So whoever our utility billing clerk is will take the salary and benefits for that position. And that's primarily all they do. So those costs will get split in between the three utilities that we have. So because they're paid for in the general fund, those transfers we have to do, that's called an indirect cost allocation. Mm-hmm. So what we had a couple different things go on. One, there was an accounting change we did. Back in days past, we used to do what's called an operating transfer. You just transferred money from the general fund, from the utilities to the general fund for that payment. That's just an accounting thing. Then the auditors came back and said, no, we want to do that differently now. Because there's this arm's length, kind of almost like two different businesses, we want to show the utility making a payment that says charges for services instead of just a transfer. So you have to erase one and put it in the other and do that. At the same time, there was a change. The city for many years had allocated part of the fire department to the utilities. Typically you don't see that, but the fire department was doing confined space rescue and they were learning about that and training them. So in the sewer and stormwater funds, the city was transferring some of those costs. What they would do is say, okay, we have six firefighters, two of them
are certified, so we're going to transfer one-third of the total fire department budget. Mm-hmm. That's not how you do that. It should be only when they get used and their time it took to actually do a rescue.
Right.
So I went back to, I think it was 2014, and recalculated all those transfers and moved that money back to the utilities that they mm-hmm. had paid. That was what they should not have done.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
What this item does, in the general fund, you'll see a number going down,
mm-hmm.
and that's an accounting thing. It's a little complicated, but where you would show it as revenue coming from the utilities, the auditors don't like that anymore either. You have to show it as a reduction in the expenses for that department, because they don't want you to show expenses here and just a mirror image of that expense in the utilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all just an accounting presentation. So what you see is a reduction in the revenues because it's actually reducing the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a different kind of piece. So that's what you see, this $1.3 million.
The expense doesn't exist.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
This is only a one-time adjustment, so then
right.
from here on out, when we budget, we'll budget it properly.
Sure.
And so
clean up.
See that. So, yeah.
Yeah, we wrote our policy and rewrote the indirect cost allocation model and how that works
mm-hmm.
now going forward.
That makes sense.
The next item is the replacement radios for our police. And the budget for those was $160,000. And we are going to allocate some of our American Recovery Plan monies that we received. It's an eligible expense for that. So, yes, it is an expense to the city, but we have all received revenue to cover that $160,000. So those two kind of act together, because you'll see that we're going to transfer money from general fund, $160,000. Again, that's just to cover the $160,000 that we're purchasing them out of Fund 501, which is where we purchase our equipment and things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to leave it there just so that we can track for future purchases and be allocating a little bit every year. So when it's time to replace radios in 10 or 15 years, we have funding to do that. So we had to do some roofing projects on the fire station here. So that is that column there. So that was unbudgeted, and so we got that in. So going to move on to page 3, Bill. Great. And so I think Winnie Hauser, maybe you guys had Winnie Hauser already on. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, you had a few more than I do on my page, so I apologize. So I'm going to refer back. So the roofing project we did, and then Winnie Hauser was just a little tiny bit of monies that we ended up having to pay out in 2021. The project was really completed in 2020, but we finished it up in 2021. So that's just some cleanup. Olmsted Park, as you know, we're starting to do our engineering and get our final design. So this is the amount that will get us to that point so that we can start on Olmsted in 2022. The next one is cemetery software. And so that software is to help us manage the cemetery. Currently we're on a very archaic old system, and we're having to duplicate items between our very old system and our current accounting system. This software will be GIS, so you'll be able to go in and you'll be able to search for things in the cemetery and such like that, but internally it will really help us with our processes and accounting. So we're excited to get that going. We just learned the mapping part has been done. That's been a big hurdle, and so move on to the next piece this coming up, moving data up and then getting into the accounting side of things. So, you probably recall you had the discussion regarding the City of Burlington Shelter Program, and you approved that $7,000, so that's what that is for there. The library construction, this is another one where the project was almost all done in 2020, but a little bit of the bills slipped into 2021, and we had not, you know, we hoped it all be done in 2020. It didn't quite happen, so that is what you're seeing there in the library construction. Then the next one are just some equipment purchases that we have made. We had a sewer crane truck for the purchased a overage in our garbage truck, so the actual cost, we had budgeted about $250,000 for the garbage truck, but unfortunately the costs escalated on us, and so this $106,000 is just to cover the additional costs of that equipment. And then we did have a streets truck that we had to purchase as well. So that's the one. And on to the next page, Phil. That's the street truck. And then the very last one there is the Public Works wastewater treatment lab ops building. We weren't, you know, we weren't quite sure the timing of when we would be doing our expenditures, but if you've been by there, we're busily working on that project. So we're having some expenses for that project. So this should help us move into 2021. When we do a budget for 2022, you'll also see an addition for that. But the funding is all in place, obviously, with the local monies that we receive. So the revenues are there to enable us to do these expenses that I'm showing you this evening. So, and that's what we have to date. And I think we probably won't have many more. I don't think so. I think we did a pretty good job. But by December 1st, we'll have it finalized, the amendments. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions? And you'll have another opportunity. Did you have anything, Chuck?
No, I have nothing.
Thank you. Great. So the only other topic that I just wanted to start having a conversation around is 2022 staffing. It's become apparent that there are some positions that are probably past due and very much needed within the city, and so we would like council to start considering new positions for potentially next year's budget. Then I'd be bringing you a budget amendment for that in early 2022 if it's something that you and the whole council are interested in. Mm-hmm. The first position is a human resources, I think we'll give it a title of manager. The city has grown quite a bit, and the complexities of human resources has really grown quite a bit. We don't have that expertise in-house anymore. Just the basic things like the Long-Term Care Act that was just passed, that our team did a great job getting up to speed, but lots of questions from staff, and if they had a dedicated person that they could go to ask these kinds of questions, I think it would be it's very much needed. I don't think it's any surprise that there's lots of new regulations coming down from the federal government now and the state government on the COVID and the vaccination challenges. And so we're having to try and figure out how to do that internally, and it would be great to have an expert in-house that can handle those questions.
Doug has been handling it with assistance from finance, mm-hmm. from one of our staff members in finance part-time. I will be inheriting that from Doug.
Okay.
We'll still have assistance from finance, but moving forward, I can tell you, even the city I came from at 8,000, almost 8,000 in population, had an HR position,
mm-hmm.
So it's a really common position frequently, especially in cities this size with the complexity we have with all the different services we provide. We're more of a full service city than a lot that you'll see.
And the sweet spot, when I called around, was asking about positions in that. Some of the consultants I talked to, they said typically when the city hits 100 full-time equivalents, and we crossed that some time ago.
Yes, we did.
What's our current count?
Mm-hmm.
What's our current count?
We're at about 140.
Yeah, I think 140 when you...
With some part-timers. I mean, so it's not FTEs, but 140 heartbeats, I say, people.
Yeah. I've kind of always plugged this like 115 when you do the math, the curriculum thing. Some of the things, in the past, the city was pretty fortunate. We have a pretty stable workforce here, and there weren't a lot of personnel issues maybe that some other cities struggled with. And one of the things, I had talked to the mayor about the finance committee. I said, would you mind if we added risk management to this? Because some of the practices we did, even though we were good and were able to handle those in-house, things like we haven't had a personnel policy manager. And we have a little bit of a joke. We have one that was passed in, I think, 1990, 91. It's 8 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a grievance policy on how, employees can maybe air a grievance. But there was nothing else as far as any type of human resource policies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've been working away on that steadily. And then also the city has, other than the fire department, hasn't had a performance evaluation. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on that. Charlie and I have been talking about that. So these are things typically you do in your human resource department.
Mm-hmm.
And your HR person is also kind of your staff advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, a lot of problems are, they come to my office, and I'm more than happy to talk to people and do that. But when you look at value of time, and where it is when we don't have that HR function, staff doesn't have an advocate to go to ask questions or ask for assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things I look at why that position is really important. And, you know, I talked to the mayor about a little bit. You kind of have a three-legged stool a little bit. That the mayor relies on, you have HR, finance, and the city administrator. And a lot of times that's your key administrative parts that run your city. Like that. We've kind of been missing that third leg of the stool for a while. So that's just my input.
Yeah, and it will be just like most of the administrative positions of shared across the utilities as well as the general fund. So.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring you the funding structure if we get nods and that we should be thinking
sure.
about this and continuing down this track. We'll definitely be bringing you all the impact to it. But,
okay.
But it is something. Culture is a big thing for me, and not having someone that's the culture person too is really important. So
mm-hmm.
I think in just understanding some of the challenges that are out there and. Really helping our staff.
Right.
I mean, our staff needs somebody sometimes, you know.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Sure. I mean, right now in various departments, looking at the mandate and everything possibly coming forward and the fact that the testing, who pays for that?
Yeah.
Right? Where does that come from?
Yeah.
There are several people on the department within the city that I know for a fact would walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're key people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's situations that... you know, I know a couple of people that have talked with their doctors, and their doctors have advised them against it. So they can be swabbed, but who pays for that? And how long is that going to happen? And who's going to handle that? Who's going to take that to go get tested and mail them out every day and process them and that sorts of things as well? Because the school districts right now are doing that, and that's being put on administrative people. And that's taking from their time, and they're standing in line at UPS to overnight these, and at what expense every single day to do it. And so that's going to fall onto the city, and where in the funds is that budgeted?
Exactly.
And who's going to take care of that? And, you know, I understand.
Thank you.
We're sorting through all those questions right now. I'll talk about it a little bit later at the council
Good.
Meeting. And you know, we don't have answers to all the questions. In fact, we're
right.
not even sure what our state's going to do as it relates to the federal rule. But having a resource that we can go to that can be the person who helps us figure these things out, has the professional connections and the training to be expert at these types of functions.
Sure.
Is really important to us
and
would help us at least deal with what we're dealing with. Because we're dealing with a perfect storm of HR issues at this point. that's a big part. I mean, the pandemic
right.
had big impacts on IT, but it also had big impacts on HR and, of course, everybody else, but certain really acute impacts in certain areas. And
right.
We're definitely feeling the brunt of it right now. So our response is we created a team, we pulled all these people in, and you know, but it's not necessarily our primary area of expertise, but we're going to do our best to figure
yeah.
it out. But it would be very, very helpful to have a go-to place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one position that we'll be discussing further with you.
Okay.
The second position is a public works position under Nathan's departments, under streets and storm and cemetery. Nathan has brought a proposal to us that we believe we can fund properly with a good percentage of the work that needs to be done. So there's a lot of things in the stormwater utility that have been kind of put aside or put on hold because there just has not been enough staffing to do things. And we could also use a portion of that FTE to help with parks during the busy times.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our cemetery, you know, hit and miss, you know, just dependent on what we need to do. So Nathan's done a lot of work, and we appreciate all of his, you know, insight into that position. History, I obviously am brand new and not here, but Nathan has shared with us historically that they lost a position, and he absorbed, you know, two departments and was told that potentially someday it would come back. And someday just hasn't quite gotten there, but I think we, you know, we really need that position. Not only that, we've added, you know, we've added Winnie Hauser, we'll be adding Olmsted, we've got Reed property, so we've got a lot of new properties that we're asking our team to maintain, and it's just a little bit too much, and I think this is a position that we really need to have that conversation and hopefully get council's approval.
And quite honestly, I would even go further and say we probably need to look at probably the addition of another part-time summer person or allocating funds for that as well, simply because watching the crews and doing the stuff over the, especially the summer months when they're trying to do street projects and stuff, being bumped over, and the fact that we're annexing in additional properties, which is going to lead to more roads and maintenance that needs to be taken care of, as well as the possibility of additional parks in those areas. So we need to definitely look at the addition of that and probably another part-time for that, because with the amount of growth that's going on, these are the day-to-day people that need to be, that are, you know, boots on the ground out there every day taking care and maintaining this stuff for the city, and it's who our community sees out there every day and takes care of it, and they depend on these people to do it.
Great. That's awesome. I'll make sure at least review that too, and maybe add a part-time, and we'll do the analysis on a part-time park or summer help position as well.
Kind of in relation to that, I think we passed something about parks fees a while back for summertime help. Did that ever go through? Or okay,
I remember us having that conversation. I got into the fees. I'm trying to remember how many we ran this year. If we ran the full six, I think we ran six part-time seasonal positions.
Okay.
I'd have to double-check with Nathan on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we were having challenges getting people applying for the positions. We are in a discussion with the wage rate that we potentially offer our part-time temporary staff. Mm-hmm. So that will be being discussed as well, in hopes that maybe that is something that will help us recruit. So. With COVID, too, has just been challenging. I think hopefully in 2022 we will have applicants for the positions.
Yeah. That would be nice.
That's
to
what
see.
We're hoping. Yeah. I know everybody in every business is hoping to have that situation. So thank you.
If I could, that's just another reason for an HR manager position. It would be we're not dealing with a normal recruitment market. We're having to get pretty creative and do unorthodox, unique things to try to find applicants, and we've had a number of positions in the city go vacant for quite a while, and that's obviously difficult for operations and has all kinds of implications. So, for what it's worth, expertise would be very helpful, because it's beyond just the post the job kind of stuff. There's a lot more that needs to go into this.
Is there like a new hire orientation too?
No, when you're onboarded, you don't.
That's
critical.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest benefits is that initial introduction to the community and the city to understand, you know, where you fit and how things work, and
I want to have someone that you can go back to and
say,
okay,
yeah,
I kind of miss this.
Yeah, because sometimes it's not appropriate, or you just don't feel comfortable talking to some, you know, management or and you've got that liaison in the city, so.
Bolstering our internal training programs as well is another objective that we need to continue to push on. We do some basic training here and do training within the departments, but there's some cross-cutting, across-the-board type of training that, you know, for example, and various other trainings that we really want to implement, but we don't have necessarily the hours to make that happen.
Are you talking about like additional workshops and that sorts of stuff?
Absolutely, for staff, yeah. Organizations have kind of a running list of training options. The organization I came from had an internal leadership academy that we put together out of HR, really beneficial to staff, helped us prepare some people for promotions, and that's really what gets your employees engaged, but it just helps them reach their potential internally, and by doing that, the whole city benefits.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry to go back to that.
No, it's fine. So that's all I had prepared for our meeting. I would like to hold these once a month, but I am cognizant if we don't have anything major to discuss, we'll just cancel them.
Sure.
But if this time frame works well, I know I think there's a reappointment of members on things, but if you're interested in serving again, let the mayor know.
Okay.
But yeah, I appreciate it very much. So.
I had one question on the staffing. I think in the workshop, there was some discussion about the solid waste with all the new neighborhoods coming online, that they'd have to either switch to Fridays, including Fridays, or hiring somebody new. Is that still something that's on the horizon?
It hasn't been brought to my attention, but I can definitely reach out to Leo and have a conversation to understand how he's planning, you know, when those homes are occupied and residents are occupied, how is he planning on servicing those new developments? So that's a great question, though. Thank you. I'll bring it. I will definitely take it back for consideration.
Yeah. That, and I'm sure, you know, with the fire department losing so many people and being short, I'm sure that you guys are probably talking with Frank and Jerry about trying to recruit, and everybody's doing all that sorts of stuff. But, you know, the fact that they're getting $16 an hour and you can go to Burger Masters and make 20, mm-hmm. you know, we're in an upside down world right now. I don't know that raising that is going to help bring more people in, but at least it's, you know, the risk that they take every day as opposed to, you know, something that's going on working in fast food. I mean, I really struggle with that and wonder if that's part of the retention. It's not necessarily the retention issue, but the application issue. You know, they have, CWE's always been a great place for people to come here and learn. As a resident, coming in, free room and board, free training, you get paid by the call. You know, you can still go to work every day. You know, they work around your schedule and stuff. I mean, for forever, it's been a very attractive program and trains people in the whole, in some ways, they've trained too good, right? Because our guys,
too much
they go out and they get really good jobs.
They're competitive.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. So they, you know, the fire department should pride themselves on their ability to do that. But how can we keep some of those people here? How can we entice them, you know, if they're looking elsewhere, or how can we bring more people in? And part of it is really hard with COVID and not having the local academies and stuff anymore. You know, so there's some of that stuff, and I know that Jerry's been trying to do a really good job going out and finding additional recruitment options and stuff that he learned and he brought in from working at the high school and that sorts of stuff. And so that stuff is all great. It's just kind of like it's a little bit scary when you can't run a station because you don't have the crew.
Mm-hmm.
The mandate didn't help any, losing an additional couple people because of that. And quite honestly, that it becomes an issue to the community if we can't service them and we can't respond to calls on time.
Mm-hmm. It's
huge.
The city's mandates is to
it's huge.
Public safety.
Thank
you for that. And we have been working very closely with Frank. We are going to be, you'll be seeing soon, we'll be proposing some funding through the American Recovery Plan to help maybe incentivize tuition for folks that come and join our team, potentially working with our part-timers and figure out, you know, things that we can do. So,
we've even offered to pay for their instruction, pay for their EMT certifications.
We'll
I mean,
our own academy.
It's insane how much that you can get if you're willing to get in there and do the work. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, what I see personally is people just not willing, wanting to come to work. On various levels, but you know, how do we work through that?
It was a conversation. I was in a meeting with other fellow cities today, and that the fire was a big issue. Mm-hmm. Everyone was talking about it, and then the police is going to be right behind there. We're going to have that conversation again. So that fire just had to be the leaders, unfortunately. It's a challenge, and so. And as you know, recruitment takes a long time. So
it
we've
does.
Got to start investing now to pay off. You
mm-hmm.
know. In the future, so
Especially with the new developments and everything, I mean, we're just going to have that much more to service. We have to be very aware of it, and the types of building structures and stuff that come in, because that's, you know, if you've got single family residents in, but then you've got, you know, apartments or affordable housing, all of that has different call times. All of that has different response rates and averages, and it pulls different resources. So all of which come at a cost. So, I mean, just looking at the big picture, we have to be very aware as we're looking at it.
I just had one quick question. Where do all of the funds, do they just sit liquid in our bank account when they're accumulating?
Yeah, so we invest most of our funds in what we call the LGI. You hear me say LGIP, the local government investment pool. The majority of our funds are invested in that, so we're getting a little bit of a return, obviously. We're restricted to how we can invest our funds. So, but we have started a new strategy of trying to, you know, increase our return a little bit. So we are now investing a little bit in government bonds, so Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, those types of things. We just recently transferred $2 million into a couple bonds that should really beat what we're currently getting. So, but we do need to, you know, it's a balance. We need to keep some of it liquid, obviously, because we've got these projects that we are going to have on the horizon, but we'll be doing a little bit more of a long-term investment strategy to try and increase those interest earnings that we're getting. So, All the monies are pooled together, so here it's pooled together. But each of them has identifiable, like, where it belongs. So of the pool, general fund has this much.
Do you know what the average rate of return is?
I think we just purchased a bond at about 0.65, and we feel that's great because we're at about 0.01. So 1%, it's 0.1% with the state right now. So it's more like a money market investment, short term, 45 days, I think, is the max that they can invest in at the LGIP, because it has to be pretty liquid, because we can get the money, you know, in a day if we need it. So now the bonds, of course, we've now invested in, I think, about a three-year bond. Yeah. The last one we just bought was a three-year. We've got one that will be coming in 2023, towards the end of 2023. So I'm starting to ladder our investments so that things roll off. Hopefully the rates are better. We'll be able to roll on a higher rate investment at the time.
Do you know where I could look at what the restrictions are?
Yeah, you bet. I'll get you the information on it. But.
Cool.
I mean, it is a good thing the state did kind of open up the door a little tiny bit recently to allow us to do some things, but cities are still a little bit hesitant to do those things, as you can imagine. We need to be super cautious with our funds. So, I'll send that to you.
Okay.
Well, cool. If you don't have anything else, we'll make Bill happy. Well, and it is only 5:38. We tried to get that clock fixed, but it didn't quite happen. So all night you guys will be looking at the clock going, oh my gosh. So we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Chuck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.